with Ryan Reese from Southern California. This is Live with Ryan Reese. Post your questions using the hashtag LiveRyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
All right, we are doing this today. I have Mikey from Islander in studio. Man, it's been a while. First of all, when's the last time you were here? Because you were at the very beginning of the radio show.
Yeah. Okay, last time I was here was like 5 years ago. We had just got off tour of Papa Roach. That's all I remember. And all we were like really excited about WrestleMania.
Wait a minute. That was when you were on the show?
Yeah.
That long ago?
It was so long ago.
I remember you guys went up to San Francisco for that, right?
Yep. It was awesome.
Yep, that was a great.
You made me talk about Sting and how much I love Sting.
Exactly. I was just having flashbacks of that. And then actually, a lot of you guys that came to our video premiere for the Whosoever's documentary that's out. You guys played at the very end.
Yep, we played
featuring Sonny Sandoval.
Yep, it was fun. We were nervous because it was kind of like a weird setting for us because like you couldn't be like walking on heads and everything in there and like
Movie premiere right to like a band. Right?
Yeah, it was just like strange. We were closing a show for a movie. it was strange.
It was awesome though. People were stoked.
Yeah.
And since then, a lot has been happening. And I want to hear all about it. So what the heck's been going on? So you were touring with Papa Roach
at the time. Yeah, we were touring with Papa Roach and Seether, and we had started a tour with a band called Nothing More right after that, and we stayed busy all the way up until literally, I guess, this past November. Like, we just stayed on the road, and now we signed a new record deal, and we're going to put out an album, and yeah, that's kind of where we're at.
So how's tour been going?
Awesome.
Since that last time, because, you know, a lot of people haven't been catching up, so since that Papa Roach, there's been a lot of things that have been happening. You've been touring. You even toured at POD for a while, right?
Yeah, we did several tours with POD.
Have you guys been going overseas or?
We haven't done anything overseas. We've done things on the seas on a tour. There's like this like thing called Shiprocked.
Oh yeah, talk about that.
They like pay us to come out on like a boat and be on a cruise ship. This is before all the coronavirus stuff. So we'd be on a cruise ship.
Get out of the studio. Yeah.
No, so they would put us on a cruise ship and we would just play shows on the sea with other bands and we would get to go to Mexico. I got to bring my wife to Mexico
for free.
And that.
How do those cruise? Because I've always wondered how those things work. So what is it? Is it a couple days? Is it a week?
They do like a week. It's like 5 or 6 days, and they have like a bunch of
5 or 6 days.
Yeah,
on the cruise.
Yeah,
with a bunch of savages.
Yeah, and we play like two sets, and the rest of the time we're just like kicking it with fans and eating steak and just having fun.
So where do they go? So they do the Mexico tour, and then is there some like over in the Caribbean area too?
Next year they're doing one in the Dominican Republic. And we haven't been invited yet, but I'm hoping we get invited because my family is Dominican. And I'm the only person in my family that's never been to the Dominican Republic, like ever. And I feel really weird about that. So I'm like, this is the opportunity.
This is it.
So, yeah, I'm waiting. I want that invite.
So on that tour, do they do is it like beach parties as well? Like, do they set stages or is everything just on the boat? Because I know when you're on those cruise boats, I've been on one in my life. It's like they have all these different rooms, right? Like theaters and stuff on the deck out back too by the pool.
Yeah, they have like the deck stage. They have the atrium stage, which is like the lobby. And then they have the theater stage. And then when they get to the ports, they have a stage set up sometimes at the beaches and stuff. Right. I know POD got to play on the beach.
Right.
Which I bet that was cool because the whole like reggae thing or whatever.
Oh yeah.
But we did stuff like that. We toured with Korn like 3 times since then. They took us out.
You got any highlight stories of that stuff?
Just head acting goofy.
Tell me
picking
some stories.
On us. oh man, let me think. There's so many in my head. Oh my gosh, stories of
think Korn. Of something of crazy head doing something.
It was Halloween, and he wore like all these like women's clothes. That was weird. Like on Halloween,
he likes to do that, huh?
He does. It's like he looks forward to Halloween. He's like, finally,
I could dress up like a girl. Finally, I have a few friends that like to do that every Halloween. They dress up and goes.
He's like, what are you trying to tell us, bro?
Is there something there we need to talk about? because every Halloween since you were young, you've been doing this, and but it's just only for Halloween.
They're like, no, it's just Halloween.
And then you know, then you got these girls too that you know on Halloween they always dress like you know super nasty. I'm like, what's going on there? Every Halloween, it's like the Halloween's like the cue for people just to dress nasty.
I know. I've noticed that.
Are they trying to tell us something?
I'm sure they're trying to tell us something. We shouldn't listen, but
exactly.
But yeah, so we did tours with them. Baby Metal, that band from Japan. They're
yeah.
awesome. Stone Sour, rapper named Yellow
that
Wolf.
That was actually at the Forum.
Yeah, we came to the Forum with
that. Yep, I was there for that.
Yeah, that was awesome because a lot of people like just look forward to playing the Forum their whole life. And we got to play the Forum, so like we can scratch that off the bucket
list.
That is
so sick.
And we ate Randy's donuts afterwards.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So from there, then you've been touring. You've had a couple albums come out since then.
Yeah, we did a record since that tour. So we've had two full length albums, and then we recorded an album in like I think it was the fall of 2018. And here's what's funny. Okay, we got off our old record deal. And we were like, let's just do the independent thing. So we went and recorded a record by ourselves, no record label involved or anything. Mm-hmm. And then right when we were about to put it out independently, a label came along called Outer Loop, and they bought the record from us. And they were like, cool, we want to put it out like a distribution deal almost. Like, we won't make you sign for any more records. We'll just do this one album. Sick. We were like, cool, that sounds good. So then right when we were gearing up a marketing plan to put it out with them, another label came along. They were called 11-7 at the time. They changed their name to Better Noise. They came along and they were like, you know what? We heard the record and we want to buy it off of that label. So they bought it off of that label.
How does that even work?
I have no idea, Ryan.
That's crazy. Okay. All right. So now here you guys are. So
they purchased it and they were like, okay, so now we're going to put the album out, but we want you to go record some more songs. So we've been just kind of writing songs and just coming up with some stuff that we can add to that record. So we've been waiting to put that album out for a minute.
So that's where you guys are at right now?
Yeah, that's where we're at.
So you're working on an album currently?
We are working on an album.
Where are you guys at? Were you guys producing it?
Right now, we're going to be working with John Feldman. That's mm-hmm. But we've worked with so many producers. Am I allowed to talk about this? Okay, I can. Cool.
Okay,
sorry, I wanted to make sure. So yeah, we're gonna be working with John Feldman on the record, and we're super stoked. He's done a lot of albums we love, and I grew up hearing him on Tony Hawk Pro Skater, which I'm sure a lot of people did because mm-hmm. he had that song with Goldfinger, Superman, and yeah, I was a little middle schooler, and that's how I discovered Goldfinger.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
but yeah, I'm stoked to get in the studio and finish the record. We need to put music out.
Yeah. So you're right now, are you guys in the middle of a tour, or are you guys just producing?
No, we have some stuff coming up. We have
a couple
some shows.
Like fly-in dates.
Yeah, we have some stuff booked with Papa Roach, and we have some festival stuff. But other than that, we're just finishing up the record.
I was texting Jacoby, and he's like, I'm in Romania with vampires. Did he text you?
No. Oh yeah. My god!
So I guess he's in Romania right now.
Yeah, I've always followed him on Instagram, looking at everything that he's doing.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
So let's hear. First of all, I want to plug Islander. Go check out Islander on Instagram. Yeah. You guys are on all the other social media.
Anything social media.
Check out their music. It's amazing. You can go to YouTube. You can find more about them. And you know what? Honestly, I think you guys have the sickest merch.
Thank you.
I've always been a fan of the merch. It's been the best stuff I've seen.
Yeah, I've got
so far. What you got? What is this? Are you plugging it right now? All right.
Yeah. This is one of my favorites.
I have that one too.
The Scorpion hoodie right here.
Yep.
With the magical Islander on the
get there.
The chest piece.
Get to the website and check it out. So let's talk about some tour stories.
Tour stories. Okay, I've got one.
Okay, I want to hear a lot because we have a lot of time to talk.
So you were talking about Mexico beforehand,
yes.
And one time we were on tour with Nothing More, and we end up in El Paso, right next to, I can't ever pronounce it, but Juarez or whatever it's called, the city in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And it was me and my cousin Jonathan. You know Jonathan. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. he was out doing photography for us, and we were doing like this alt press takeover on their Instagram of, you know, Alternative Press Magazine.
Right.
And we were like, man, we got to do something cool. We got to show everybody we're having fun out here. So here's Mexico right here. Why don't we go? So we go to the border, just me and Jonathan. We just walk over there because it was right there next to the venue. And we're like, do we need passports to get in? And they were like, no.
Wait, who said that? Americans or Mexicans?
Mexicans. Hold on. Every time I tell the story, it just starts. I'm like, I'm an idiot. every single time.
No, come.
So we walk in.
Bro, you're like Latino or Spanish.
I know. Crazy. I'm Dominican, though. But it was.
So what?
So we walk in, and Jonathan looks at me because he starts noticing that.
He looks like he belongs in Mexico, too. He has like darker skin.
He's full Dominican.
Yeah, but he has like darker skin. Yeah. He blends right in.
I'm half Dominican. He's full Dominican. Okay. So he looks at me because he can speak Spanish. I can't speak Spanish. I can just eat Spanish. That's what I always tell people. I'm always eating all of our Dominican food. But anyways, So he looks at me and goes, bro, you don't need to speak over here. He's like, let me talk. Because he was like, if they hear your South Carolina accent, he's like, they're going to kill us. So he's speaking Spanish to everybody everywhere we go. And I'm at him like, I know what's going on. And we go and we get some Mexican food at some little hole in the wall, like literally like this little hole in the wall. It was just like dirt floor or whatever.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, we need to go back to America now because I got to start getting ready for the show. So we get back to the border and there's this lady sitting there. It was this white lady. Yeah. And she's like, you need a passport. You can't come back into America without a passport. Duh. I mean, obviously. But for some reason, in our head, we were like, well, we were just told. And she's like, I don't know who told you that.
Wait, how long ago was this?
It was 2015.
Got it.
And she says, you need a passport to get back into America. Which, obviously.
It's the customs lady.
Yeah, it's the customs lady. And she, my cousin, he was in the military. He was a Marine and everything. And he looks at her and goes, I'm part of the military. And she goes, sir, you need a passport. And he goes, you don't understand. I remember that's exactly what he said. He said, you don't understand. She goes, I do understand. And I was just like, we're going to die here if I don't open my mouth and let her know how South Carolina I am. So I lay it on thick. I go, seriously, I go,
I want to hear the accent. I want to hear.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not from here. I'm from South Carolina. I said, my band is playing down the street at this venue in El Paso. I said, we walked over here not realizing what we were getting ourselves into. Brian, I kid you not. She looks at me and she goes, next time y'all come in here, y'all need a passport.
No. All the accent saved your life.
She let us go back to America without a passport, which is so crazy.
That is crazy.
But yeah. Like, I was showing her my license and everything. And I'm like, I'm not from here.
Because I remember being able to go to Tijuana right here.
Okay.
And crossing the border with an ID. And we never took passports because, I mean, you know, people just go to their parties.
Maybe that's what that dude thought. Maybe he was just like, oh, you're good.
Well, normally, I mean, that was like that. I don't know. I mean, obviously, they changed a lot now with Tijuana. It's like a barricade down there. But we used to be able to just go over there with our ID. Yeah.
But, dude. Like,
but
I thought I was going to be stuck.
Dude, that's crazy. What if you were stuck?
I don't know. My brother,
though. You had to go to the embassy and do the whole thing.
My brother was, you know, he's always out with us. And he's in the band now. But at the time, he was just doing merch. And now he's in our band. But we get back over to the venue. And he's like, where were you guys? We're like, we were in Mexico. And he never lets us live. And he's like, you guys are stupid. Yeah. And I'm like, you just wanted to go. Like, you just wish you were part of it.
Going over the border and those just right over the border,
yeah.
Mexico, I get too sketched out. I love going to Mexico. I go to Mexico a lot to, you know, do whosoever
stuff. I love
Mexico.
Yeah.
No, it's the best. You got the best food and it changes all the more south you go.
Yeah.
It just gets epic. But right on the border, it's always sketchy stuff because, you know, like I was telling you earlier when you came in about, you know, the Mexico stories.
Yeah.
But what's going on is, you know, Mexico, they're actually trying to build a wall at the bottom of Mexico because all the people that are getting stuck at the borders are coming from El Salvador and all those Central American countries. It's not technically, there are Mexicans that are trying to come over the border because they have family here and stuff. But it's like Honduras and Guatemala and all those. They're coming through Mexico and they're getting stuck at the border. And that's why the border is so dangerous.
Yeah.
Like right now, one of the most dangerous places right now is Tijuana, 2 hours from here down south. Because everyone's stuck there. There's not enough food or, You know, it's chaos down there.
Wow.
So, and then you guys go, don't go there now.
Yeah.
Dude, you get stuck there with everyone else.
Yeah.
And,
I would never do that again the way that we did it.
No, I know. Of course. It's a, so what do you think about the whole, coronavirus and everything going on?
Dude,
okay. First of all, tell me, what do you think about everything?
Okay. So I flew in the other day to Arizona. Yeah. And me and my manager drove out to Cali. But when I flew in, I had a layover in Denver. And the airport, everybody has on a mask. And, like, some people have on, like, doctor's gloves.
Wait a minute. I haven't been in the airport yet. So when you're in there, everyone has masks?
Almost everybody. I didn't have a mask on. I felt really – I was like, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
but everybody was wearing,
well,
like,
if everyone else has masks.
Yeah. But everybody was, like, wearing doctor's gloves and stuff.
No way.
And – every single time somebody would, like, just go, everybody's like,
no.
Like, seriously, they look like they want to, like, go and jump them. Because, and here's what's crazy. When
this
I was,
is the best.
I got on an airplane in Indianapolis and we were going to Denver. And this lady, she had, like, she was blowing her nose and she had a really raspy voice. And everybody around her said, what's going on? And she was explaining.
Wait, people were asking her.
And she was explaining to people. She's like, I just had a cold last week. I'm just getting over a cold. I swear it was just a cold. And it's like she was afraid that they were going to pick her up or something and be like, get off the plane. Get off the plane.
Oh, it was like, on the plane when she was doing it.
Yeah, she was on the plane. Like, we were about to take off.
Are the planes crowded still? Or are they kind of?
I mean, it's just, yeah, it's still, a plane.
No, I'm saying, is there still the same amount of people traveling?
Oh, yeah. My planes were packed.
They're packed.
So I don't know about, I mean, I'm sure that travel's down, but the flights I was on were packed. And
no way.
She was explaining to people, she was like, I just had a cold last week. I'm sorry. Like, I swear. She's like, I don't have the coronavirus. She's trying to giggle about it. Everybody's like real serious with it. And then this other girl got on the plane and she opens up the little sanitizing wipes and starts handing them out to people around her.
No.
And she's like, could you just wipe down your area, please? And I'm just like, this is crazy.
No way.
So I mean,
this is epic.
I know there's something to be alarmed and serious about. Yeah. But I also feel kind of like, what are we going to do at this point? Like, it's here, and like, I don't know. Like, we're all going to get it.
So, do you know the senator or the congressman, the guy with the eye patch? He's like an ex-military guy. He's like a Republican eye patch.
Don't sound like you're describing a pirate.
He is a pirate. I think he's got his eye shot out or something in war.
Wow.
He's like a veteran, but he's one of our congressmen. Anyway, he came out with a video recently. And says, hey, some things that know about the Congress, some things that know about the coronavirus. He's all, the common question is, do masks prevent you from catching the virus? No.
Yeah.
They don't stop it because
you could
catch it through your eyes.
Yeah.
And through the hands of touching. And there's actually no reported cases of any kids with it.
Oh, really?
So it's only affecting older. The majority is older people.
I saw that.
How old are you?
I'm 34.
Oh, you can get it.
I'm sure I can. I read that it can pass between animals, like dogs and pets and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
really?
I've seen pictures of people that have their dogs like wrapped up, almost looking like bubble wrap, walking around.
No way.
Like,
yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. So. Well, I think you just gotta,
just here's the thing. Like, people are, like, sharing, like, hand-washing memes and stuff, teaching people how to wash their hands.
Yep.
And everybody's talking about washing your hands. And it's like, why is this a new thing? Like, I've been washing my hands since I was a little kid. And I've seen, like, people will go in, like, a bathroom, though, and they don't know how to wash their hands. They really don't.
Yeah.
They put the soap on their hand, and then they just put their hand under the water and, like, rub the soap off real quick. They just go, psh, and then they're, like, done. Well, and it's
believe
like,
it or not, as you travel, I've seen many people that don't wash their hands.
Oh, I've seen
it. When you go to different countries, I don't think.
No, here in America.
Well, here too, but when you go to other countries too, I've seen.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. I think they're more cautious about hygiene here. But, that's just leading us into this, it's a crazy time that we're living in.
Yeah.
In the world.
It is.
I know this first half of this radio show, we've been just kind of talking about fun, cool stuff. The second half, I want to get a little bit more, just deeper, kind of talking about what's been going on in your personal life and how God's been doing stuff.
Yeah.
But leading up to this point is, when you look at culture and everything that's going on, like when I was talking to my friend Paul the other day, and You know, because right now, I don't know if you've seen like the memes and everything that's going on with Costco. Like all the toilet paper's gone.
Oh, I've seen it.
All the water's gone. And the last time something like this happened was in, you know, when they thought that, you know, Y2K was when we hit 2000, that all the computers were going to crash.
Yeah, I remember all that.
It's kind of the same thing now, but the only difference is there's this virus that's circulating, and it was created, and who put it out on the streets, and what's the purpose, and you know, I don't want to jump into conspiracies and all that, but but the bottom line is this thing was released into the world, and there is a panic, and there is a scare, and people are honestly scared, and they feel like they have no hope, and they don't know what's going to go on.
Yeah,
you know, and what's cool about us is as believers in Christ is that we know that God is he calls the shots, and he's in the details, right. And we don't have to be in fear. You know, no. Fear is something that's from the enemy. He wants to get us in fear. He wants us to be enslaved to drugs and alcohol and to addiction and to suicide and depression and bitterness and anger, and he wants to lock us up and all this stuff, so we're scared running around, and you know, we got to take caution in life.
There's, there's a million other viruses we can get. Like, it's like everybody forgot the other ones exist. And it's like, guys, like, we've always been able to get sick. Like,
well, you know how many people actually die of flu when the season come out every year? It's just because it's so common.
Yeah,
you know, it's not a epidemic or anything, but it's a new thing, so people are worried. And
Of course, there's a lot we don't know about it, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know when I get in a plane or a car or anything if it's gonna make it. I might die that day from that. And there's people dying in car accidents like this every single second. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we're putting too much emphasis on. I've been joking with my friends about the coronavirus, because right now it's the thing. You know what I mean? It's the thing. It's the new
social media and everything too.
It's blowing it up.
And then news channels, all the media. You can get some excitement going on here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So be cautious, but that's what I believe. I believe be cautious, but also there's only so much you can do. You just need to know where you're going when you die, so that you don't have to worry about every little thing that comes along. So.
Exactly. And what would you say to the listeners if they don't know where they're going to die? What happens? Because I know the Bible says that life's like a vapor of smoke. It's here today, gone tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you take a big hookah hit, right, and you push it out, it's like this big smoke cloud, and then all of a sudden, within minutes or seconds, it just kind of fades away. Or it also refers to as life's like a flower. You know, it blooms, and then it dies and disintegrates.
Like a candle in the wind. C.S. Lewis said that anything that's not eternal is eternally useless. Mm-hmm. And that's what I believe. I believe that if it's not going to matter in eternity, it doesn't matter now. So we just need to focus on, you know, the eternal. And the Bible says it's better to spend your time at funerals rather than parties, because that's where you're all going to end up. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if the coronavirus can help somebody come to Jesus, thank you, coronavirus.
The thing is, the hope is like what I love about the eternal life, where Jesus says is, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for the sins of the world. And whoever would believe by faith, just believing in his son that he died on the cross and he lives, would have eternal life. And us as believers, you get a whole new perspective on life because you're not worried about death anymore. No. You become free because God starts transforming your life. He's not religious, but he transforms your life. And then you start living this life where you have hope in Christ. And he gives you this whole new mindset and this whole new heart. And the creativity starts flowing more, and opportunity starts opening up, and everything just shifts. Where you're still where you're supposed to be, doing your job and all this stuff, but it's like you see the green grass. The grass is greener, and you hear birds chirping.
I remember after I accepted Jesus, the very next day, I was hanging out with my friend, and I remember when I got in their car, it was the first time I'd ever gotten a car and thought, I'm not even worried if we die because I know where I'm going.
Yeah.
And it was the first time. Some people were like, I don't get, like, because I remember I walked outside too, and I could enjoy looking at trees. I could enjoy the air, everything, because I finally had peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. Yeah. I finally had it, and I had never felt that before. So it was literally, like I was telling my friend the other day, the best way I can describe what it was like coming to Jesus was – imagine if you're, I don't know why you would never know what a shower was or whatever, or a bath, but imagine if you'd never heard of it. And from birth, you had been covered in poop your whole life. Mm-hmm. And you're just covered in poop. And finally, one day, somebody goes, here's some soap and water. And they wash it off of you, and you're no longer covered in poop. Mm-hmm. If you didn't,
that's a great feeling.
Yeah, it's like it's just amazing. It's like you wouldn't be able to describe it, and that's what it felt like for me. I was covered in poo poo, and all of a sudden, soap and water that I'd heard about my whole life, but finally let it in, came into my life and washed all the poop off. And I'm sorry, if that's a weird analogy, but that's what it felt
visuals are good. We're on the radio, and it is true. Is God comes in, and you'll never know that until you you encounter him, you know?
Yeah.
And then that's what happens is your life transforms, and that's when it gets exciting. I look back at time. We have a few minutes left before the break, but I look back at my life, and I talk to people all the time, and I'm just like, it's so crazy when I look back at those years of me when I used to manage a skate team and work in the music industry and all those, you know, that whole environment. You know, I don't have anything to show, you know what I mean? Like, I had a good time. But we'll just say that, you know, we had a lot of parties popping off. But then I look back and I'm like, but there was nothing that I did that I could really look back and say, I could say, oh, yeah, I've done some music festivals and different things. But I'm like, there was no, like, depth to anything. Like, there was no meaning. I wasn't even able to like speak life into people that were going through hard times, or there was no, that had no depth to me. It was very like a shallow, my relationships were all very, very shallow. And now, you know, like where are a lot of those people that I've hung out with before, you know, it's like once a party stops, like they just exit, you know, you have some of your true friends that I'm friends with a lot of my friends I grew up with in high school still.
Yeah.
You know, they're still, I have like a grip of them, you know, like 20 or more of them. The ones that haven't died or committed suicide, they're still my homies, you know?
Yeah.
But things change, you know, and now how our lives are, and that's what I want to talk to you about on the second break is now how our lives are now. It's like there's meaning and purpose, and we're still in it. Like you're in a band, you're traveling, you're doing why you were placed on this planet Earth. You're writing sick lyrics and the way you deliver the message. I love it because it's not all, you know, corny, you know, because you know, you got to remember there's corny Christians and then there's Christians like us, you know, that are
so not corny.
Just normal.
Yeah.
Just normal. Normal, you know. I don't think Jesus was corny. Well, actually, when I read the scriptures, he was pretty anti-corny. Yeah. He was actually controversial. he was driving the religious leaders crazy.
They murdered him.
The religious leaders crucified him. I think he shook up the place a lot. But that's what God has for us, though, is he wants to encounter you, and then he wants to launch you into the whole reason why you were created, you know? Like before you were even created, like God had a plan for you.
Yeah.
When you were to before you existed. And then when you're here on planet Earth, the whole goal is to walk it out.
Yeah.
And that's when you have that peace and that purpose.
The Bible says, I must decrease, he must increase. Mm-hmm. I believe that I'm supposed to implode on myself so much that I become who I actually am in him by letting him live through me. So die to yourself. That's what I'm always telling my friends.
That's it.
I'm like, dude, that's...
Well, before we go to break, I want to plug, go to the app store, download the Whosoever's app with the S. It's free, has all of our past radio shows from the last, I don't know, years. I don't know if it was 5 years. I think it was like 4 years.
It was five.
Really?
I counted it up.
Whatever. Go check out the app on YouTube. We have also past shows. With the Whosoever's movement, we tour the world and we talk about purpose and destiny and let people know that God loves them and he has a plan for their life. We tour from Australia to Colombia. We're going to Chile next month, all over the United States, all over Central America, all over South America. And we're trying to get into Europe right now. We just got a call about Uganda.
Really?
Yo, I'm like, I don't know, man. I've been to South Africa, but Uganda, that's crazy. I've seen some movies about all that stuff over there. Wow. So we're seeing and India too opened up. One of our friends from the Whosoever's went and just spoke in India. Dude, so yeah, awesome. Contact us, email us. We'll be there. Hit us up. We'll talk to you after the break. Peace.
Okay. with Ryan Reese coming up.
Is everything all right?
Call now. 1-888-564-6173 or post your questions using the hashtag LiveRyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
I think I speak for the entire administration when I say whoop-de-doo.
Now, back to Live with Ryan Reese. Don't say we didn't warn you.
Loud noises!
All right, we're back with Mikey, the lead singer and throat of the band Islander. Hey, let people know where they can find your music and your tour dates and all that good stuff.
You can find us on Instagram at Islander and any other social media, Spotify, Apple Music, like anything that is on your phone, we're on. So just find me.
Go to iTunes and download all their albums. How many albums do you have out now?
We have two full lengths and an EP, but we're bringing out a brand new record, so that's the one I want people to really focus on.
Yeah, well, it's coming.
It's coming.
So if there's one video or one song you want them to listen to get the party started with you guys, where would they go? What song?
Coconut Dracula was like our big, like...
That's a good one. That's a party
Billboard
that's a party
hit,
jam.
Smash, but I smash. Would say the big smash hit.
I like the Sushi song.
Yeah, I Want Sushi is one of my favorites. It's a fun one.
Tell us about that Sushi song. Those are some deep lyrics.
No, you know what? It's funny. I always tell people they actually are because the whole song's about that punk rock mentality in life. And like, it's basically saying, you know, I want sushi is something I can't really afford on the road.
Yeah.
And it's saying, I'm not waiting for a blue check next to my name on Instagram or whatever. That's the lyrics. And it says rock and roll don't pay like it used to. And it's like that starving artist struggle. It's just a song basically saying, hey, we do this because we love it. We're not making any money.
Yeah.
So...
No, that's a great. I know when I heard that song, I was like, "This is it. This is totally relatable."
Yeah.
On many levels to people.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get it.
Like
going.
I'm literally always like throwing my hats and shoes in the washer, and like I'll wash them and then I'll dry them, and I'm always like my shoe looks kind of bent up or whatever because I dry them, and I'm just like, dude, like this is where I'm at. I'm just gonna write a song about it, and so
it's amazing.
Yeah.
So. With the last half of the story, I want you to pull from your past where were you at the place before you encountered God, and then walk me through that, you encountering God, and then just what he started doing in your personal life, how that transformation happened, and then that led to you playing in a band.
All right. I was always playing in bands, even before I was a Christian or anything. Mm-hmm. I was just in love with music, and into the whole, you know, the hardcore scene, the punk rock scene in my town in Greenville, South Carolina. And there was some point I had a few friends that were Christians, and I grew up in the South where everybody thinks they're Christian just because it's the Bible Belt. Everybody goes to church, and everybody has all the answers. We all know about, you know, Noah's Ark, and we know all those stories. So sometimes dangerous.
That's so crazy for someone from like me from California my whole life. It's such a different mentality to even see that environment. It's a trip.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's dangerous when people get in that mindset because when you grow up with it around you, it's like you just look at Christianity as part of your, I don't know, it's part of your culture and you don't even know it.
It's like, I'm born in America. I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
You know.
It's that kind of thing where like people think like, oh, I'm just Christian. I believe in God.
Yeah.
And I never had a relationship with him.
Yeah.
And... You know, our parents took us to Sunday school and all that stuff growing up, and
so were they believers like the real deal, or were they just
my family's real deal.
Okay, like they believed you just kind of didn't have that deal.
I just didn't have a relationship. Yeah. I knew the answers. I'm like, cool. I can tell you about Jonah. I can tell you about Noah.
Yeah,
but I don't know Jesus. You know what I mean? I guess I was about 18 or 19. I think I was 19, and I started having some questions, basically. I started going to this church just because the people there were the first church that I'd ever gone to that they were actually being the church. It wasn't like I was going to a football team and they didn't look at their church like a football team. They were saying people don't want to come to church, so we have to take church to them. So we're going to go out in the communities. We're going to love people.
Sick.
And so I'm seeing all this and I'm like, dude, like, I don't have whatever these people have. Like, they had peace. I was always worrying. I was always angry. I was always you know, just whatever. I was caught up in whatever I wanted to do. I felt like I could just look at porn and then ask God for forgiveness or whatever, because I grew up in the South and I thought, like, you could use Jesus as a credit card, and he's not a credit card.
Or like a genie. In the box, you just kind of ask him for stuff.
You just, like, whenever you're going through something, you're like, God. It's like, he wants to talk to us when we're not going through
God, I'm in jail. Get me out. Okay, I'll talk to you next time I go to jail.
So I had started having some questions about stuff like that, but I remember one day I was saying something about, you know, you can ask for forgiveness. And my mom, actually, she was sitting on the couch. I remember she said, you know, if you really know Jesus, you're not going to continue living in sin, because you're going to be convicted of your sins, and you're going to, he's going to change you from the inside out. And I was like, well, you can just, he'll always forgive you. And she's like, yes, but you're going to be convicted. And I started realizing.
And what's conviction for listeners?
Okay. Conviction is when.
Is it bad?
Well, it's good. Conviction is a good thing, but it's when you do bad things, you feel it. It's kind of like.
But what is it? Why do you get that? Just for people that are listening.
It's for God working on us. Basically, it's him calling us and letting us know, because he wrote eternity in our hearts. Mm-hmm. So when we do things that go against God's will, it's written in our hearts so that we already know there's something not completely right about it. Even if, like, there's people that are caught up in their sin, I feel like that, I know for me, I can only speak from my own experience, but I know for me, I started feeling this pull and this tug of, this isn't right. Like, this is just not right. And I was convicted.
So sin in the Bible, you know what it means? It just means missing the mark. It's like if you have a bullseye and you're shooting arrows and you keep missing the bullseye, you're missing the mark. And what the sin is in our life is Jesus is just saying, because sin sounds like sin. Yeah. What sin is it's those things in our life that are destroying us.
Yeah.
And we're like, why do I keep doing this? Why am I struggling with this? It's because we're opening ourselves to these certain things.
Yeah.
We're missing the mark. We're trying to do right, but we keep missing the mark. And that's why the Holy Spirit goes, hey, you're missing the mark. And I'm convicting you because I'm drawing you to myself to show you what's right.
Yeah. And I didn't realize at the time that Jesus was on a mission to come get me.
Yeah.
Like the Bible says, he's the good shepherd. And I was a sheep and I was lost.
Yeah.
And he came and he was coming out there to get me. And I'm running. I'm over here like, here he comes.
Yeah.
And I don't know it. But at the time, I was reading all these dream interpretation books, and I was always trying to, like, interpret people's dream from this weird book that I had. Mm-hmm. I got it from Barnes & Noble, and I would look, and I would be like, this means this, and da-da-da-da-da. And my mom, obviously, she was just like, this is ridiculous. And she was explaining to me in the Bible, if somebody interpreted dreams, how, you know, God was going to reveal that to them.
Yeah.
And she was like, you don't need this book. And it was, we can get into all that later, but I'm saying.
No, that's good.
So I would ask people all the time, like, what was your dream?
So you were kind of experimenting with, like, New Age stuff.
Yeah.
Or occult
stuff. Yeah, occult stuff. And I didn't even know it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I just thought, like, all right, just dreams. And so I would ask people all the time. So one day my mom, this is after a few months of, like, I just started feeling weird, like at church or whatever. So I quit going to church. And then all of a sudden, the pastor and his wife sent me this leopard print fuzzy card in the mail, because I loved leopard print so much. Mm-hmm. And it was this fuzzy card, and I opened it, and it said, we miss you, and if you ever need us, we're a phone call away. And I'm like, ah, they're bothering me. Like, everybody's bothering me. And I was running from it, you know, because I started feeling, like, this conviction that I had never felt before. God was coming after me.
Yeah.
And I asked my mom one day, I just say that to add to it was all building up at the time.
Yeah.
And I asked my mom, I was like, so what did you dream last night? And she was like, okay, I'll tell you what I dreamed. She said, we were at our grandparents' house, and she said, there was this tree in the ground. I was like, oh, okay, trees represent life. And she's like, okay, anyways.
Yeah.
She said, there was a sinkhole. She said, you pulled the tree out of the sinkhole. And she said, this sinkhole came and rose up over you. And she said, it covered your whole body and you went into the earth. And I was like, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Because I didn't know what that meant, but I didn't like the sound of it.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like God was actually speaking to me through a dream this time.
Wow.
And it was funny because I pulled a tree out of the ground that represented life. But then I went in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just weird. It struck me. And I feel like God knew that I was trying to look at people's dreams. So he was like, okay, like you're going to go to hell if you don't know me. You're going to be separated from eternal love if uh-huh. you don't accept me. And my mom had already given me this tract. It was a Billy Graham tract, and I remember it gave the plan of salvation. Uh-huh. And I used to hate tracts all the time. I used to be like, oh, they're not personal. And it's like, no, like, well, if you have a relationship with somebody already, all it is a pamphlet that explains
yeah.
things in a
yeah.
in a way. So my mom, who I had a great relationship with and still do, she had given me this just so that I could sit in my room and really focus and read what it was all about. And I was laying on my bed, and it was that night. I was laying on my bed after the whole dream thing, and I opened that little pamphlet, and I was reading it, and it showed these pictures of a chasm, and like there was like an area where I couldn't get across, and God was on one side, and then it was like me on the other, mm-hmm. and it says you, and then God, you know, it's like mm-hmm. little cartoon pictures,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and then it shows the cross and how Jesus made a bridge to having a relationship with God. And I'm just going through this little pamphlet, and it's talking about why we need Jesus. And I don't know why, I'd heard it my whole life, but this is the first time it was just really connecting to me
yeah.
that I didn't know him. And I had been struggling all these months with wondering why I was feeling the way I was feeling, why I started feeling like porn was bad, why I started feeling like I was meant for something different. I wasn't built. It's like I was a piece of a machine that I had never seen the machine before, so I didn't know what I was built for. It was mm-hmm. it was weird. And I literally felt like hell was one breath away. It was like through the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I've driven my car my whole life, and it stopped working. It stopped working constantly. And yet something in my body has never quit working to where I've broken down. It's just always, you know, my heart's beating. And I was like, if it breaks down, like my car does, I'm yeah. going to die and go to hell.
Yeah.
And I don't have a relationship. I don't have this peace that my mom has and that these people at the church have. So before I could even think what to do, I just stood up and walked to my mom's room at 1 o'clock in the morning and flipped the light on. I was like, hey, are you awake? Are you awake? And she wasn't awake. And she's like, what is it, son? And I'm standing at the door shaking. And I'm holding that little pamphlet. And she says, do you need to be sure of something? And I could barely talk. And I said, I need to pray. And she goes, you need to be sure that you know Jesus? I said, I don't know Jesus. And she woke up so fast. And
Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah, she yeah. grabbed her Bible, and she took me through the plan of salvation and so that I knew what I was getting myself into. And she said, would you like to pray and ask Jesus to come in your heart? And I said, yeah. And she said, do you want to repeat after me? I said, no. I said, I want to talk to him. And I prayed my first real prayer. I told him, I said, I messed up.
Yeah.
I said, I know you've been talking to me. And I said, here I am, I'm listening, and please forgive me. I said, because I have a lot of sins. This is exactly what I said. I remember I said, there's a lot of sins. I said, there's a lot of sins people don't know about.
Yeah.
And I said, I need you to forgive me. And I said, please come and change me. Thank you for what your son Jesus did, what this pamphlet was talking about.
Yeah.
And I asked Jesus to change my life. And I remember when I went back to my room, I felt like I had never been in my room before. Even though I knew it was my room. Like I knew,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
No, but no, yeah.
I felt like I had never been alive before until that moment.
Isn't that nuts? It's almost like an illustration is when you, if we were in this room right now and this was your life, but there was no light.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of walking through life. You don't really know where to go, kind of bumping in stuff. Oh, what's this? Oh, you know, I'm supposed to be here. Or am I supposed to be there looking for the door? But then once you give your life to Jesus Christ, like you turn the light on. Yeah. Boom.
And you don't know it was dark until
you don't know it was dark. And you're like, dude, now I could actually see.
Yeah.
I know where everything's at. Yeah. Everything looks different. And like the light comes on.
Yeah.
But you'll never know that until that moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, dude, I actually told a friend that the other day. I was like, you don't know that the lights are off until somebody turns one on and you go, whoa. So this is what it's like to see. Mm-hmm. I thought I could. I thought life was just feeling things. It's like, no, mm-hmm. it's about seeing too.
Dude, that's amazing. That is the coolest story.
Yeah.
So from that point, What was the, we have like 10 minutes left of the show. What, from that point, what was the next thing that happened from there? Because obviously you're in a band now, Islander, lead singer. What was the process of getting to where you're at now?
Well, the next thing that happened was I started reading the scripture. Now that I was, now that my eyes were open, I was actually, the Holy Spirit was showing me things in the scripture. Because beforehand, I was blind in reading it, and I couldn't, I don't know how to explain it
the
to people.
It's easy. The book is a spiritual book.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, it's like, just like with like Harry Potter or anything. That's a book of like witchcraft, of spells.
Right.
And it's a spiritual book. So if you're not a Christian, you have the spirit that rules this world, which is Satan, and you have these books, and that's how it operates. In the same way, you need the Holy Spirit in you, spirit in you, for the Spirit, God's book, to come alive.
Yeah.
So that's what happens. And all of a sudden, you have the Holy Spirit on. Now the book's like, bam, it's alive.
Yeah, it is alive.
And now you're reading it, and things
are... There was a local band back home that used to have a lyric that said, "I thought I'd learned to read, but the words on these pages make no sense to me." Mm-hmm. And that's how I was when I read the Bible before I knew Jesus. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I got in a band. I was in a few bands after that.
But there was a process, though, of the transformation. It's like,
yeah,
things don't just change overnight.
No.
Overnight you're like, whoa, there's something that happened. You know that it's real.
Yeah.
But then there's like it's an ongoing process. It's still in the process.
A lot of it was, I'm still in the process.
Yeah.
I will be until I die.
Yes.
But it was the kind of thing where I started asking a lot of questions. So I would go to Bible study, and I would ask my pastor a lot of questions about what things meant. There's a lot of moments, still a lot of moments, where I'll read certain things in the Bible and I get angry with God, and I'm like, oh, it'd be so much easier if it was this other way. But then I'm like, oh, I know I'm wrong and I know you're right.
Yeah.
I'm human, and I'm looking at things through my human mind.
Right.
And yeah, so he's constantly revealing to me that I've had the wrong definition of what's good my whole life, and he's telling me what the real definition of his rightness is.
So when you read the scriptures, God has these commandments, or this way of life, should you say?
Mm-hmm.
These are like boundaries for mankind, for human mankind, so we can live a healthy life. Like when you literally like look at like what he wrote, all this stuff does is it produces a healthy life.
Yeah.
Like if you literally obey like what the kind of lifestyle he's trying to show us through obedience through Christ, of what he's done on the cross and the life that he has for us, all you get is an amazing, healthy life of like real life.
He literally says no to things because he's saying yes to something better.
Yeah.
And that's what it took me a long time to figure out. I was like, okay, like, why is this not okay? And why can't these people just be happy living this way or whatever? And it's like, well, I'm not here to be made happy. I'm here to be made holy. I'm here to be set apart and to be made more like his son.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I ended up jumping in a band. There was like a local band that we were not called Islander at the time. And it ended up being the band that became Islander, same members and stuff. But, we started playing shows for fun. And I wanted an outlet to be able to, you know, just share my beliefs, but not in a way like, it's kind of like this. Like, I always tell people, when you eat spaghetti, you don't go to a restaurant and say, I want Christian spaghetti, and that's the only kind of restaurant I eat at. Mm. And you don't ever go to a restaurant and say, well, this is non-Christian spaghetti. You just want good spaghetti. So Islanders like that. We're like, yo, like, not everybody in the band believes. We're just a restaurant, and some of the chefs in the kitchen do happen to believe, and we're trying to make the best spaghetti possible. Now, when I come out to the table and
you're the voice,
and
you're the singer, and you're writing out everything.
Yeah, so people see the lyrics and stuff, and they'll associate that with the whole band or whatever, and it's like, no, dude, like, it's just my worldview, and God's changed my life, and I don't have anything else. I don't have another viewpoint to sing about now, because this is my viewpoint. I mean, I had a different viewpoint before. But,
No, that's amazing.
Yeah, so like just being on the road and being around the other bands and praying for them and being there for them and listening to them and not saying, hey, you guys, bust up in their green room, you guys are sinning in here. Like, Like, it's none of that. It's,
well, you know, when people look at your life, it's in these environments where you're at, the only time they'll ever see be able to open the Bible, mm-hmm. say they'll never open the Bible, so the only illustration they'll see of the Bible or example is your life.
Right.
And, you know, we obviously, you're good friends with Sonny as well. And yeah. myself, and you know what I've seen you guys do is you're just living the life,
dude. We're
as
just,
a witness,
we're just out there eating pizza with people,
you're
kicking
just,
it.
You're living it, and then opportunity opens up because yeah. when I mean I've been backstage, I've been walking through music festivals. Like I was at the what's that one Sound Shock or what the Santa? It's up in
Aftershock.
Aftershock up in
up Sacramento.
North. Yeah,
yeah.
I was walking backstage there, and. I was wearing a Whosoever shirt, and this guy comes up, and he's like, "Do you know the Whosoevers?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah, I'm kind of part of it." And dude, he just unloads. Man, I've been struggling with drugs and alcohol. And he's like, you know, crying, yeah. and I'm like, "Bro, you can I pray with you? Do you want to receive Jesus?" Yes, right there backstage.
Yeah,
I didn't do anything. I just showed up.
No, we don't do anything.
We don't do it. That's what I'm saying. You're just there.
Yeah, I'm just there.
And an opportunity just arises, and
yeah,
because when that's just what God does, and yeah. and. They're not going to come up to you unless you're just living your life.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of Christians that can go up and say stuff to people, but their life sucks.
I remember Fieldy from Korn used to always tell me when we were on tour with him. He's like, dude, just be available. He's like, just be available.
Exactly.
Just be here. Just be eating lunch with somebody. Just be available to be there and hang out and listen.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's what I do. I try to just listen to people and hear their stories and
yep.
and be like, wow, like I want to hear what's hurting you just so I can be your friend. And, yeah. and they see that.
Yeah.
And it's like a lot of...
You have to be genuine.
Yeah. And a lot of people, they don't know what it is that they're attracted to. They don't know it's Jesus coming off of me like incense.
Yeah.
They just know there's something different. And then they're like, hey, what's
your deal? What's your deal?
Yeah. What are you smoking?
Like yeah, exactly. yeah.
So.
It's so true.
Yeah.
So, and now you're married. You got married after that.
Yeah. So me and my wife, the School Awakening, it's in the new... Loud Crazy Love movie that's on Showtime with Head from Korn and Janaea, his daughter.
That's like a father daughter movie about the reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a school.
Yep. And so it's called Awakening Youth. And my wife got a job there. And that's where we live. We live on campus in like a separate apartment. And she's the dean of students there. And she's just a mentor to all these girls. She's helping them get through college and high school. And they actually have a boys program there now, too, in a separate house on a different property.
I didn't know that.
And I've been helping some with the boys program. So I've been spending time and just being a ear, really, for these young guys. And just taking them out. And the other day I took one of the kids out. And I say kids, but they're like older teenagers.
Yeah.
And I bought him a foot massage and some Chinese food, and I just said, dude, just tell me your story. I want to hear what's going on with you. And just they've never had somebody just to kick it with like that. And it's like everybody needs that. I need that.
Yep.
And I just love kicking it with people. So
they call that discipleship in the Bible.
Yeah.
Just rubbing elbows, hanging out.
Just kicking it. Sharpening each other.
Yeah, sharpening, yep.
And yeah, so I've just been trying to help some with that while I'm off tour and just writing songs and loving people, man. That's what I've been doing.
All right. Well, where do people find you? Plug your socials and your...
I'm on Mikey Carvajal. That's my name on Instagram. And again, Islanders just on every single thing you can think of. We haven't got a TikTok yet. We're going to get one. I want to dance for you guys and be goofy. You know.
And go download all the albums. And they're going to... When do you guys think you're going to be coming to L.A. again or anywhere close? I mean, this radio show is... Now it's on 111 stations across L.A. to New York City. So all across the United States.
Yeah.
So you guys tour all over the world. So
dude, yeah. I don't know when we're coming to L.A. again, but I can guarantee it'll be sooner rather than later. It's one of our favorite places to be. I love Disneyland. In Anaheim, I love...
Dude, you're a local there. I see. You actually went to the new park, right, where they have the Millennium Falcon and all that?
Yeah.
Is it next level?
It's incredible. Our manager took us out there, and we had the best time. We flew the Millennium Falcon, and we drank the blue milk at the Star Wars Land. Chewbacca walked by me and was like...
No.
Like, it was amazing. I love Disneyland.
It's super packed, though, huh?
Coronavirus Central, yeah.
Totally. Oh my gosh,
no.
Everyone's got masks.
No. You gotta get one of those Mickey Mouse character helmets. Mickey Mouse is covered. You know?
That's right.
He's like, I'm good.
That's right. That's the new level, just going with one of those masks. Yeah. It's so funny, going back to the coronavirus, I saw this mask. My wife's like, we need to get this. And it's like a hat. And it has a full-on shield. Like, you're basically, your whole head is just locked in this thing.
Thing. My South Carolina accent's rubbing off on Ryan.
It's locked in this thing.
All right. Well, check out Mikey. If you want to find him, go to Islander on Instagram, and they follow the three band members.
Yep.
And you can find them directly right there. Get on iTunes, download their music. Get on their website, buy their merch, find their tours, and find them and go party. And you actually hang out after. If you want to go talk to Mikey after the shows, see, that's what I love about you guys.
Yeah.
You and your brother's out there too at the merch booth, but you're out there with the people, you're talking, you're hanging out, having cool conversations. Yeah. So get there, find them, give them a high five, take a photo,
and
have them pray for you.
This has been Live with Ryan Reese. To connect or find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday at 9 p.m. for Live with Ryan Reese.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for working everything out for my good. Help me trust in your perfect plan. Amen.
Father, thank you for loving and caring for me.
With Christian Prayer Meditation, you can pray along to prayers based on specific topics. Go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Christian Prayer Meditation. You can also download the Abide app for biblical meditations at abide.com.